to Ephesians chapter 6. And Lord willing, I'm going to be looking at the last few verses of the epistle of Ephesians this morning. And I appreciate your prayers. Always appreciate your prayers for me in regards to just pastoring and preaching. Pray the Lord will lead us and guide us into the messages that He'd have us to preach, whether He'd have us to preach and get into another series of some kind or just whatever the Lord wants. I appreciate your prayers. God, give us guidance and help. And I have had some things I've been praying about as far as preaching. And so either way. But Lord willing, this morning we will finish up the last few verses of Ephesians. And so if you'll look with me in verse number 18, I'll not ask you to stand. We've stood several times this morning already. But if you look with me in verse number 18, I'm going to read here down through the end of this chapter and the end of the book. And so Ephesians 6, verse 18, he says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that ye might that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen." Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace once again this morning, and I thank you for letting us be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to come and to hear and to preach the Word of God. I thank you this morning for what we've already, Lord, had and, Lord, been able to experience. Lord, I thank you for the good Sunday school hour. Thank you, Lord, for the time of fellowship, the giving that's been done, the praying that's been done, the singing. I just thank you for it all, and I pray that, Lord, you would bless us now and you'd help us as we've come to this time of preaching. I pray that you would make preaching easy for us. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, give us that special touch that it takes to preach the Word of God. Lord, give us that unction that we need. And Lord, I pray that your Word would go forth in power and in demonstration of the Holy Ghost this morning. I pray that you would speak to hearts. I pray for that lost soul that might be here, that you would show them their lost condition. And Lord, you would convict and convince them this morning, make it very clear and obvious, or they might be saved this morning before it's too late. I pray for each of us that are saved here, that you would draw us close to yourself, teach us from your Word, Lord, do a work in our life. Lord, may this morning and may this message truly be life-changing in our lives, and we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. As I was reading down through these verses and studying, meditating, praying over it, I guess these last few verses here, as you just kind of look at it and read through it, in one sense, in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, what will I really do with this? I mean, what would you really do with this in regards to preaching? He's just, you know, he's closing up the letter, and he's kind of giving that final salutation kind of there, especially there at verse 23 and 24, you know, "Peace to the brethren." He just kind of closes it out, and he's just kind of making the last final few comments here. And so from one perspective, for a little while, I looked at it and thought, you know, what could I possibly do with this? You know, I mean, what preaching is here? And it's always amazing how whenever you start praying and seeking the Lord and start seeking the message in the Scripture, how you go from what could I possibly do with this to, Lord, how could I possibly fit all of this into one message? You know, the Lord just reveals Himself and the Word. And it's, I tell you, you know, the Bible, Jesus said, you know, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so every single word is significant. Every single word is weighty. And even in the greetings, even in the salutations, even in those what we would call little things in these epistles that were written, there's great deep truth in. And there's even very, very practical truth for us. And what I see here, I see some truths in the closing of this letter, just a couple things that I think really God can help us with. And what they do is what we have here, we have a picture, we have a portrait of really a great man of God in this passage. And I'm not talking about the Apostle Paul. We know that he was a great man of God, chosen of God, an apostle, and all those things. But we have another great man of God in this passage, a man by the name of Tychicus. And he's often an overlooked man in the Bible, overlooked man in the Scriptures. He's just mentioned here. But we see a great man in Tychicus. We also see, you know, a request here from the Apostle Paul as he's asking the people to pray for him. And I know the past couple of times we've preached, we've dealt with prayer connected to the armor of God, all those things. But I'm just simply saying that here, even in the last closing verses of this book, we have some great closing instructions from God. As God is bringing this letter to a close to the Ephesian believers, He gives us today in 2021 some tremendous instructions for our Christian life. And so I want to give you a few things that the Lord has given me out of this passage and pray that they'll be a blessing and be a help to you. Now, this is the 54th message, the closing message in Ephesians. 54 messages I've preached through Ephesians. And there's so many more that could be preached. I know one man that preached over 50 messages out of chapter 1 in Ephesians. And so we've really only just seemed like scratched the surface of what all could be preached and what all could be said. But 54 messages. And if you recall, going back, I guess, to the beginning, to the opening chapters of Ephesians, kind of the theme of the whole book deals with our riches as God's people. We're here at the end of chapter 6. The first three chapters, the first half of the letter, Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, writes to the Ephesians regarding all their blessings in God, all their blessings in Christ. Some of the deepest truths in the Bible regarding salvation are in Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. And so he writes to them regarding their blessings, how God's blessed them and the things that they believe regarding salvation. Then the last three chapters, chapters 4, 5, and 6, stemming off of what they believe, the things he wrote in the first chapters, stemming off of that, he gets into their behavior. And we ought to behave and live this way because of all these things that God has done for us. Amen? Getting right back to what we saw in Sunday school. Amen? Not just the what, but the why. He gives them the why first. Amen? He gives them understanding first. He shows them all that God has done and all that Jesus did and all that was wrought in Christ in chapters 1, 2, and 3. And so because of all that, we ought to do all of this. Amen? And that's the way it is, man. Listen, the Christian life is not just a list of do's and don'ts and a lots of rules and regulations. It's living for God, really liberty and freedom to live for God because of what He has done for us. Amen? The reason so many will get in and last for a day or two or last for a week or two or a month or two, some of them even years, but they always fall away is because they might have gotten the what for a little while, but they never got the why. Amen? And their why may have not been the right why. Amen? It might not have been because of Jesus. Jesus is the why I'm doing what I'm doing. Amen? And if anybody or anything else is the why you're doing what you're doing, you're not going to make it, man. You're not going to make it. I mean, you're just not going to make it. Listen, if I'm doing what I'm doing because of the ministry, because I love the ministry, I'm not going to make it. Don't no preacher make it in these last days if they love the ministry. Listen, if we're doing what we're doing because we love people, and I hear people in the ministry all the time talking about, well, I just love people so much. Listen to me, man. If you or me, the ones doing what we're doing because we love people, we are not going to make it. Because people will let you down and people will frustrate you and people are up and down and in and out and wishy-washy and they're in one minute and out the next and they're making you proud one minute and they're making you pout the next. Amen. I mean, it's just people will not sustain you. I don't care how much you love people. Praise the Lord. But there is a person. There is a person. If you can't do it for people, but you got to do it for a person. Amen. And there is a person that keeps me going. It is a man by the name of Jesus. Amen. And I tell you, whenever I get down and whenever I get discouraged and it gets hard and we look around like Miss Miranda was just saying, and it's discouraging when you don't see people getting saved and it seems like there's just a handful. It seems like we're just a small remnant. I tell you, I have to turn and behold the throne of God. Amen. I have to behold Calvary. I have to get my heart turned back to the person. Amen. And remember that He's the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing. Praise God. I'm not a preaching a sermon for you, though I help you, hope you get help in a sermon. And I'm not serving the Lord for you, though I hope you get help because I'm serving the Lord. At the end of the day, I've got to be able to pillow my head at night knowing that I pleased the Lord and I did what I did to make Him happy and to try to somehow, some way show Him I love Him because He's loved me. Amen. Jesus is the reason that we're doing what we're doing. He is the why we do what we're doing. That is exactly what Ephesians is all about. The first three chapters, He gives them the why. He shows them their riches. The riches of salvation. And because we are so rich in salvation, we ought to live a certain way. Amen. And as we're getting down to the closing chapters, He's given some final instructions. You know, it crossed my mind as I read the last few verses here and thought about these last few verses that we're reading. Think about the situation that the man of God is in here as he's writing. We know it's God writing this. We know it's under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. But still, I mean, you think it to yourself and realize that the Apostle Paul is with his hand penning this letter. And as he sits in a Roman prison waiting to stand trial before an insane emperor. I don't know if you realize this, but the Apostle Paul was getting ready to stand before Caesar. The Caesar that he was getting ready to stand before was a man by the name of Nero. Nero, an insane emperor. And I don't say insane, I mean literally. Historically, the man was insane. This is a man who lit his garden with the burning bodies of Christians. Used Christian bodies as human torches to light his garden at night. He crucified Christians and put them in the Colosseum. The man was insane. And the Apostle Paul is here in a dark, dingy, despairing dungeon waiting to stand trial before Nero of all people. And yet he's writing this letter, and in his mind he might think this could be one of the last letter he ever writes. These could be some of the last words that he ever pens. And as he closes out this letter, he gives them those final instructions. And I don't know about you, but if I'm thinking this is the last push, this is the last go for me, if I'm giving my last instructions, I want it to be weighty, man. I mean, I want it to be what I really want somebody to know. If I'm on my deathbed and I'm giving my children their last instructions, kind of like Joseph whenever he gave his sons those last instructions before he passed away, I want it to be weighty. I want it to be of all the things that I could tell them, I want it to be the one thing that I want them to know. And as we look at these last few verses, of all the things in the whole world that the man of God could have instructed them in his final, push, his final instructions, this is what he gives them right here. First of all, in these final instructions, I want to point out just a few things to you. First of all, here in the final instructions of this man of God, in this letter, we see supplication. Look in verse 19. It says, and for me, he's talking about praying. Verse 18, he's talking about praying. But then he says, and for me, that is, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. The Apostle Paul here, in his final instructions, he instructs them regarding supplication. He's already been talking about prayer. He's already been talking about the armor of God and dealing with prayer and supplication regarding the armor of God. And he asks them to pray. And in verse 19, the very first thing he says is, for me.
He says, listen, we're talking about praying and praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit and all those things. But one thing I want you to pray for is I'm closing out this letter. This may be the last time you ever hear from me. Listen, would you please, 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 would you please pray for me? Amen. And I want to say this, you ought to pray for God's man. Amen. Paul here is the man of God. He's the apostle that God has chosen under the Gentiles. And he's asking them to pray for him. And I would say this, if the apostle Paul needs prayer, if the apostle Paul needs somebody to pray for him, how much more do I need somebody to pray for me? Amen. How much more do you need somebody to pray for you? Amen. And I don't want to be selfish this morning. I just want to give you the Word of God, what God gave me. If you don't have anybody else or anything else to pray for, brethren, would you please pray for me? Amen. Would you please pray for your man of God? Paul here is in a Roman prison waiting to stand before an insane emperor, a man by the name of Nero. We just talked about that. And what we see here is he's asking them to pray for him. Amen. Now, what we see in his prayer, in his request for prayer, first of all, we see the man's burden. If you're going to pray for the man of God, pray for the man's burden. Amen. He said, pray for me that I might make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul's burden, the man's burden, and the burden of every true man of God is that he might make known the mystery of the gospel. Amen. And I can testify before you this morning, I'm not bragging, I'm not pumping myself up, I'm a nobody and I'm a nothing, but I do want you to know that the Lord Jesus Christ has put a burden in my heart that I might make known the mystery of the gospel. Amen. I tell you something, I've got such a burning, deep desire down in my soul to preach the Word of God. And there might be a lot better preachers than me, but there's not one more excited to preach than me. Amen. That's why we go to the jails. That's why we go out on Wednesday afternoons. That's why we go out on Friday afternoons. That's why we do what we do, because of the burden to make known the mystery of the gospel. Amen. And the Apostle Paul says, would you please pray for me? Would you please help me pray about my burden? Amen. And I tell you, if you don't have anybody else to pray for or anything else to pray for, I would ask that you'd please just pray for me. Pray for me and my burden that I could make known the mystery of the gospel. Amen. And we all need that prayer, don't we? It's not just me. It's not just your pastor. It's all of us. That's why we pray for each other. Because if we're saved, we ought to have the burden. We ought to want to get the gospel out. We ought to want to make known the mystery of the gospel. Amen? And I tell you this, the gospel is it. There's no way that we can use psychology or logic and reason. Listen, it's birthed by the Holy Ghost and the Word of God in his heart. And it's got the man, the preacher and the hearer both need prayer. Amen. Paul's not asking them to pray for the ones that he's preaching to, the ones that he plans to witness to. He says, pray for me that I could make known the mystery of the gospel. Amen. I know God's got to do it, but one thing's for sure, we all ought to want to do the best we can. Amen. Pray for the man's burden. Pray for the man's bonds. He says in verse 20, I am an ambassador in bonds. Amen. The Apostle Paul is literally in bonds, bound between Roman soldiers, bound in that prison. And he is God's ambassador in bonds. One preacher said, the ambassadors of men usually appear in great pomp. However, how differently does the ambassador of Christ appear? Amen. It's a whole lot different. We are ambassadors of Christ. Amen. And if you're in it for the pomp and the circumstance, you're not going to last long. Amen. Because the ambassadors of Christ, they don't always appear like the ambassadors of the world. Amen. They don't appear with great applause and great reception like the world's ambassadors do. Amen. But one thing's for sure, we may be in bonds and we may be few in number, and we may not have much gift and much talent, much ability, but if we are ambassadors for Christ, we have got a message to proclaim and a message to bring, and there is no bond and there is no army and there is no government that could stop the ambassador for Christ. Amen. But one thing is for sure, we ought to pray for the man's bonds. You know, God's man has bonds that most people will never know anything about. God's men carry burdens and carry struggles and go through battles and discouragements and anxieties and struggles that most of the world will never know anything about. Matter of fact, I was just preaching, talking to a pastor not long ago who was going through a lot of trials in his family and in his church and all these things, the things that you just desire to see that you're not seeing happen and you want the Lord to do and they're just not being done, and the things you want to see in people's lives that you're not seeing, and all those things. I mean, and he was mighty discouraged, and he was mighty down, and we were talking about different things. And I said to him, I said, this is the part of pastoring that nobody knows anything about. I tell you, when you come to the pulpit and you leave your lung on the pulpit three times a week or more than that, and you preach and you preach and you preach and it seems like you don't see anything happen, listen, if you think you're discouraged, men of God get discouraged, friend. If you think you're not seeing anybody get saved, men of God aren't seeing anybody get saved either. And listen, all the battles you go through, men of God go through as well. And there are bonds there. Paul didn't complain about it. Matter of fact, he didn't even ask for them he didn't ask for them to pray to remove the bonds. Amen. I'm just simply saying that God's men, they have bonds and struggles that most people don't know, but I'll say this, most men will never complain. God's men will rarely complain, but the bonds still are there and they still are very real. That's why we've been praying for all these preachers that we know. These older men of God that have been faithful and stood by the stuff, and they've hoed the same row all their life, and they've stayed faithful to God and faithful to the Word. They've just stayed right down the line all their life, and now they're in their later years and they're facing health troubles and battles and struggles. And I tell you, we want to keep praying for them. We want to keep lifting them up. Amen. Because of the bonds. Many of those bonds have come only because of ministry. Amen. But he didn't ask them to remove the bonds. You know what he asked for? He asked them to pray. He said, I'm an ambassador in bonds. He said, but pray for me. Not that I'll get delivered from all this. He said, pray that everyone I come in contact with, pray that every time I get opportunity to preach the gospel, pray that it'll go forth with liberty and with power. His focus was on the gospel. Amen. Amen. You say, the person there to pray for us, Paul said, pray for me. Pray for me. Now, these are his closing instructions. I tell you, you'll never go wrong praying for a man of God. You'll never go wrong praying for a man of God. I know in these last days, I know we've got the recovering fundamentalists out there, and I know we've got this compromising crowd that wants to make out like some preacher has hurt them, and I mean some preacher just ruined their whole life, and I know there are men out there that are wolves in sheep's clothing, and there are men out there that hadn't always done right. Amen. We all understand that. We all know that, don't we? Are y'all still with me this morning? Have you known a man that's not always been right, not always done right? Hey, can I tell you, I've bought all always done right, and I not always will do right. Amen. But I hear and tell you, I thank God for the men of God that have taken a King James Bible and lifted up their voice and cried aloud, spared not. They didn't spare my feelings, and they didn't spare my sin, and they didn't hold back on me. They preached right where I was living. They got down where I was at. Amen. And they preached it right, and they preached it tight, and they preached it straight. And I say, praise God for a man of God that would give his life to the ministry and pour himself into the ministry and stand for God in these evil days. Amen. You'll never go wrong praying for a man of God. Amen. He deals with supplication. The person is him. But then he not only asks them to pray for himself and the person, he says pray for the proclamation as well. Verse 19, he says, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. First of all, he's asking them to pray for capability. He uses the word utterance, that utterance may be given. That is, that God would make him capable, that God would make him able to preach the Word of God, to preach the gospel. Amen? Listen, I'm not for all this sharing stuff. I know what some people mean when they talk about sharing the gospel, but the gospel isn't to be shared, the gospel is to be preached, amen? That doesn't mean every person we witness to and every time we stand on a doorstep and we go to, talking to somebody about their soul, that doesn't mean we set up a pulpit and say, well, number one, Point number two. That's not you. That's not. Doesn't mean you got 3 points in a poem every time you preach the gospel to somebody. But it also means. It also doesn't mean that you do this little half-hearted sharing either. Amen. Sharing is telling people that Jesus loves them. Preaching is telling people why they need to know Jesus loves them. Amen. Man needs to know what his problem is. Man, God is looking for somebody that will cry aloud and spare not. Amen? And I tell you, it takes a special utterance to preach the gospel. Paul needs help from God to speak the gospel message with excellence. Amen? And by the way, I think we ought to all apply ourselves to the excellence of preaching the gospel. Not to preaching sermons, preaching the gospel. If there's things you don't know about the gospel, and if there's unanswered questions you have regarding the gospel, and if you have ever been asked a question that you don't know by someone who is lost, you know what you ought to do? You ought to apply yourself to be able to take Bible and show somebody, answer their questions with the Word of God. Amen. But Paul's asking that they would pray for capability, that he would be able, because see, the gospel's a mystery. God must help both the preacher and the hearer to preach the gospel. He's asking them to pray for capability. He's asking them to pray for courage. He uses the word utterance. He uses the word boldly. That I may open my mouth boldly. See, Paul needs courage to speak the gospel. Boy, let's just be honest about it. He's in a tight spot. He's in a bad way here. I mean, this may be it for him. And so many are so hostile to the gospel that they'd kill any who proclaim it, especially in Paul's day. And I tell you, it takes courage to stand for God. It takes courage to be a witness. It takes courage to preach the gospel. Man, woman, boy, or girl, it takes courage. Amen. And it still requires courage to proclaim the gospel. Amen. You say, Brother, what should I pray for? Well, you can pray for the man of God. And you can pray that he'd be capable. And you can pray that he'll have courage. Amen. I need courage. I need capability. But then he also mentions character. He says, as I ought to speak. Not to just speak the gospel, but as I ought to. There's a right way and a wrong way. Amen. There's a right spirit and a wrong spirit. Amen. And I tell you this, I don't want to just preach everywhere. I want to preach where God wants me to preach. And I don't want to just go to every meeting just for the sake of going to a meeting. I want to be in the meetings God wants me to be in. Amen. It's a waste of time to do what God doesn't want you to do. Paul wanted to go into Asia Minor, but God forbid him. Amen. And so it takes character. There's a right way and a wrong way. And then he asked him to pray for communications. He said, the gospel. He wants to make known the mystery of the gospel. You know, you realize the gospel is still the greatest message in the world. I don't care how watered down it's been. I don't care how attacked it's been. I don't care how twisted it's been out there in the world. The gospel, the true Bible gospel, is still the greatest message the world has ever known. Amen. And if God would give us capability, and if God would give us courage, and if God would give us character, that we might communicate the gospel to a lost and dying world. Amen. You realize that even here in the Bible Belt, and I know the Bible Belt's come unbuckled, but even here in the heart of the Bible Belt, the majority of the world out there has never been given a clear presentation of the Bible gospel. They think their baptism is saving them and getting them to heaven. They think their good works is getting them to heaven. They think going to church is getting them to heaven. And by the way, they're false prophet of a preacher's letting them go to hell thinking that too. Amen. And so in this day, in this town, God is still needing somebody with a missionary heart and with a pioneer spirit to go and to talk to everyone they know and give them a clear message of gospel Bible salvation. Here not long ago, whenever we were in a missions conference, me and Brother James Ruckman spent 2 whole days knocking doors. And without fail, every person we talked to thought they were saved and going to heaven because of some work they were doing. And most of them, it was because they'd been baptized. without fail. And I can remember it was the first time in a long time I'd heard somebody really admit they were lost and needed to be saved. But we talked to three different people. And after taking a Bible and showing them the true gospel in the Bible, they admitted they were lost and needed to be saved. They didn't get saved that day. They didn't want to be saved that day. But they admitted they were lost and needed to be saved. That what they had would not save them. And I'm telling you, brethren, they are all around us. They are all around us. And so you say, well, what are we going to do? Well, the least we could do is pray. That's what Paul said. He said, pray for me. He said, pray for me. And he said, pray for the proclamation that everything that I say and everything I do, it'd be God's will and God'd use it. Amen. And so we see supplication here. But then, second of all, we see a servant here. We see this man by the name of Tychicus. The Bible says in verse number 21, he said, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord. And so we have a person, a man by the name of Tychicus, a servant. Now, Tychicus is the man that is not mentioned a whole lot in the Bible. He's not one of the heroes of the faith, so to speak. His name is not in lights. Nobody quotes Tychicus. You know what I'm saying? He's just a man that's mentioned in passing. But he is mentioned in four of Paul's epistles. Did you know that? The first mention of this man, Tychicus, is in Acts chapter 20, verse 4. And he's mentioned just simply as one of those dedicated saints, one of those committed servants who would travel with Paul from time to time. That's all we know about Tychicus. That's it. I want to point out that he's not a preacher. He's not an apostle. He wasn't one of the disciples. As far as we know, he never had any special gifts, talents, or abilities. He was never, as far as we know, he was not one of the apostles given the ability to heal the sick or to preach or to cast out devils. Nothing like that. All we know about Tychicus is that he was with Paul. He was with the man of God doing what he could to be a blessing to the man of God and to the work of God. Can I tell you that in these final instructions where Paul brings up the name of a man by the name of Tychicus, I want to say that it reminds us that that is exactly the way we should be. You know who the hero in this text is, in my opinion? You know who the hero in this epistle is, in my opinion? Of course, we know it's Jesus because Jesus has done it all. But in terms of the servant, in terms of the people, the hero is the man Tychicus. Because his name is not applauded. And as far as we know, he never sought anything for himself. He just simply did what he could do. And can I say this? That a faithful, dedicated Christian is the type of Christian, the type of person, the type of church member that God will greatly use. Amen. When we were at camp this past week, they recognized and honored a man who went to Walters Grove Baptist Church for many, many years, a man named Barry Lawson. Nobody here knows who Barry Lawson is. It's the first time you've ever heard his name. He was not a preacher. He wasn't a missionary. I don't even think he was a deacon. He was just a man in the church that loved the Lord and loved the church and loved the work of God. And he was so dedicated to the work of God. They said camp was the highlight of his highlight every year. He would always drive the church bus to camp every year. He would always be there hiding bricks. And if you've not been at camp, you don't know anything about the bricks. But anyways, he would hide the bricks and he would do all those things. He was always involved in the camp. But anywhere the church went, he drove the bus. He worked on the bus. He kept the bus going. He worked around the church. He was dedicated. Everyone at camp or everyone at Walters Grove, they knew who Barry Lawson was. Not because he was a preacher and not because he'd preach some dynamic message, but just because he was a man who was dedicated to the work of God. He passed away a little over a year ago. And to honor that man, to honor his life, his daughter and son were at camp. They're now grown, married. They've got children of their own, bringing their kids to camp now. And they're working in that church, serving in that church. And they gave a plaque in honor and in memory and dedicated to they call it the Servant's Heart Award. They're now going to give a Servant's Heart Award out every year at camp in memory of Brother Barry Lawson. Because he wasn't a preacher or anything like that, but because he was just a faithful servant. And you know, none of us have to do anything big. None of us have to have our name in lights. None of us even have to be recognized for anything we do. If we're doing it for Jesus, if we're doing it for the Lord, at the end of the day, Jesus, the Lord, is going to reward us for it. That's all that matters anyways. Amen. Tychicus didn't write half the New Testament. He didn't preach all kinds of messages. He didn't do all, he just simply delivered a letter. That was all he did. He delivered this letter. Paul wrote the letter, and he sent Tychicus, and that man delivered the letter. And he's mentioned a few other times, he just was with Paul, evidently just there just to be a servant, just to help Paul, just try to be a blessing any way that he could. But what a man of God he was. You know, those are the people that really get used by God. Anyone that is just willing to be faithful and wanting to serve and wanting to be a blessing. First of all, in this passage and the mention of Tychicus, I see two things. First of all, I see affection for the servant. Paul, writing the letter, refers to Tychicus as a beloved brother. A beloved brother. And can I tell you that there's always a special affection for faithful servants? I would say even in my short time in the ministry as a pastor, there's a special affection for faithful servants. For those people that are just faithful and that are just dedicated and that just want to just serve and just want to be a blessing, there's always a special affection for people like that. They don't have to be talented or be gifted. I mean, you love everybody, but I mean, even Jesus had an inner circle, ain't that right? You know what I'm saying? I'm saying we see the affection. Paul calls him the beloved brother. And then we see the approval of the servant. Paul called him a faithful minister. So the Holy Spirit, writing at the hand of Paul, calls Tychicus a faithful minister. You know, if there's anything we could be called, if there's anything we could be referred to, I think one of the greatest things we could be referred to is a faithful minister. It doesn't matter if we preached a message and somebody got saved. It doesn't matter, you know, if we never teach a Sunday school class or you know, anything like that. But if we could just be a faithful minister, when it's all said and done, if we could just stand before the Lord and Him say, you know, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Tychicus may not have been talented. He may not have been talented, but he was trustworthy. He may not have been famous, but he was at least faithful. Amen. You know, one reason Paul, I believe, gave him this letter to deliver was because he could trust him to deliver it. You know what? One reason why some people aren't used any more of God than what they're used, God can't trust them. We see some people, you know, where it seems like God gives them an opportunity to serve and God does things with them all the time. We think, well, man, why wouldn't God do that with me? Why doesn't God give me opportunities like that? Well, first of all, do you want to be used? And second of all, can you be trusted to be used? But then notice his purpose. He details his work. First of all, there's three things that he did. First of all, he was to communicate about Paul. It says that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. That's why Paul sent Tychicus. See, Paul couldn't cover everything he wrote in this letter. So what he did was he sent a letter plus Tychicus, not just to deliver the letter, but that he could also tell them what all was going on in the ministry and all going on in Paul's life. That is, Paul trusted him not just to deliver this letter, but to communicate his heart to the church. And you know, you can't trust everybody. You know why not everybody's a Sunday school teacher? Because you can't trust everybody to be a Sunday school teacher. You can't trust everybody to teach. I mean, it's just the way it is. You know why everybody's not used by God? Because God can't trust everybody to be used of Him. So he was to communicate about Paul, but then he was to comfort the saints. He said in verse 22 that he might comfort your hearts. He wasn't like some people who would be more likely to discomfort than he would to comfort. Amen. He was sending him because he knew he could trust them to be a blessing to those people, not be a discomfort to them. And then last of all, his job was to carry this epistle. He said, whom I have sent unto you, in verse 22. See, Tychicus carried several of Paul's letters through the years. We have that recorded. He took several of them to their destinations. And you know, as I thought about that, I thought, you know, I'm sure that this man didn't really realize the gravity of delivering these letters at the time that he did it. I know I used this man that I really never even knew myself, this man Barry Lawson, that they were honoring at camp, you know, and all those things. I'm sure he probably never really thought about the weight or the gravity of what he was doing when he drove that bus. Whenever he worked on the buses to keep the buses going so the bus routes could keep running and all those things. You know, I'm sure the person that vacuums the floor, they're not thinking about the gravity and the weight of vacuuming the floor. They're not thinking about the seriousness, you know, whenever somebody sweeps, they're not thinking about the seriousness and the importance of it. Whenever somebody washes the bathroom, cleans the bathroom, you know, you're not thinking about the importance of it, maybe. Whoever straightens the books isn't thinking about the importance of straightening the books. Whenever we invite someone to church, maybe we're not always, it's not always on the forefront of our mind thinking about the importance of what we're doing. Maybe we're not thinking about the importance of playing the piano or leading the singing or just teaching that little Sunday school class where there's just a couple people in there. Maybe we're not thinking about the importance of that now. But I tell you, Tychicus never thought the importance of it. But I tell you what, it was mighty important, wasn't it? Because the fact that he delivered the message and the fact that he was just faithful to the simple little task that God gave him, the fact that he just did what he was supposed to do, we've got this book in our hands in 2021, over 2,000 years later. I'll tell you who God's looking for in these final instructions. That even though God has given this man a little thing, even though he's got a simple thing, he was simply faithful. And we may not always see the importance of what we do. And by the way, nobody else may see the importance of what you do either. It may seem like a little thing, may seem like a simple thing. But it's the simple things, it's the faithfulness in the simple things that God uses in a mighty way. Now, God may or may not call somebody to do a big thing. But the fact is whatever God calls somebody to do, in God's eyes, it's a big thing. And one of these days, the importance of it, it'll be made known. If not here, it'll be made known in the judgment. And so I think the question is, whenever I look at this passage, the question is, are you and I, are we really doing what God wants us to do? Have you really got your hand to the plow in everything God wants you to do? You say, well, I'm doing simple things now and I'm not really getting anywhere now. Listen, it's all about being faithful in the simple things. Be faithful in the simple things. God will give you bigger things. In camp this past week, there was young people committing their life to God, to missions, to go to the mission field, answering the call in various different areas of life. I wonder if all of us have answered God's call to every various area of life. Oh, it may not be the mission field, and it may not be China, it may not be somewhere across the seas, but God's got something for all of us. And it may be simple, it may be small, but the importance will be known one day if we'll just do what God wants us to do. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace. I want to thank you for helping us with the message. Pray that you'll take it and use it. I pray, Lord, that we would all be surrendered and submitted to what you would have us to do in our life. Lord, that we would be faithful like this man, Tychicus. Lord, that we could be used of you. Lord, you're not looking for people with great gift, talents, and abilities. Lord, you're just looking for men like Tychicus who would just be simply faithful, do what they can to be a blessing to the work of God, the man of God. I pray that you'd bless in the altar call, and Lord, you'd use this message in a mighty way, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand our